Hello and welcome to the Night in on Negotiation podcast. My philosophy is that you cannot change the person you are negotiating with, but you can change you to get better outcomes. In this podcast, you will find interviews, speeches, and lectures, all pertaining to negotiating complex supply chain contracts. This material is based on my 4 books and is appropriate for both buy and sell side folks. For more information and free resources, visit www.jnaiden.com. Enjoy.
Hello, everyone. This is Jeanette Naiden on Night In on Negotiations. Welcome to the podcast. I am thrilled this morning to have Peter Simoons, an alliance and partnership expert, with us. Peter and I met in 2016 at the IACCM conference in Italy, and more recently, the IACCM changed its name to World Commerce and Contracting. Welcome, Peter.
Thank you, Jeanette. Thank you very much for having me.
Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you're an expert in alliances and partnerships?
Oh, absolutely. Thank you very much for that question. I find it difficult to refer to myself as an expert because I'm constantly learning. But in the land of the blind, in one eye sees king, I believe the saying at least is in Dutch. I'm not sure if it translates well. So from that perspective, I'm an expert because I'm working with alliances and partnerships actually all of my career, but I only found out in 2001 that the way I'm working with collaborations and with partners, it is called alliances. And since 2009, 2010, I made it my specialty when I left IBM and started to work out on my own as an alliance expert. I must say that in IBM, I already worked a lot in alliances because I built the global alliance between IBM and Royal Philips. And I learned a lot. I made some mistakes, of course, as we all do, but those are the best lessons to learn.
So you had mentioned the book Getting to We, I'm the co-author with Kate Vitasic and David Fringer, as a book to read for 2021. Yes. What is it about that book, Getting to We, and the work that you do that you found it compelling enough to recommend that book?
Well, when we talk about partnerships and alliances, we talk about collaboration. And when you look at most of the traditional negotiation books, it's very much about, I believe the most famous one is about getting to yes.
Yes.
And I've seen one that's called getting to no.
Yes.
And it's all about very much one-sided. It's about winning for me and not about creating a collaborative result. And when I started to read Getting to We after we met in 2016 in Rome, I realized that this is a methodology that's really focused on jointly reaching a result that is beneficial for both parties. And so in our Alliance Masterclass, we bring this in the moment we start to talk about negotiation, because this is essential. Every client I talk to at first talks about win-win. And we teach them to talk about win-win-win. It's not only about us two partners that are working, want to work together. It's also about the client that needs to win from it. And the Getting to We methodology has that focus about collaboration. And that's why I feel that's an excellent methodology.
So the first question that comes to my mind is, when you were talking about your background and collaboration, is how are alliances and partnerships either similar or different?
Mm-hmm. That's an interesting question, and I'm smiling. This is audio only, but you might hurt my smile. It's a question I get a lot, and because there are many, many names for working together between two organizations. Are it alliances, are it joint ventures, are it strategic alliances, are it partnerships, is it channel? And there is a distinction in all of them, but in all cases, we could say it is a partnership. The reason why I try to avoid the word partnership is because I learned, and it has been confirmed by many people I speak to who are more legal-wise savvy than I am, I've understood that the word partnership can mean has a legal connotation to it. So especially in the US, and maybe you can confirm that, having a partnership can make you liable from a legal perspective. while a strategic alliance or an alliance does not, except when you have a real contract on it under it, and you have legal terms also in the contract. So there is no real distinction between a partnership and a alliance. It's both are two or more organizations who work together to try to accomplish something one of them cannot do alone. However, that's the legal connotation to it is the reason I try to stay away from the word partnership.
Yeah, that's fascinating that the law has that much power to influence our language, that we come up with a different word to communicate what we're trying to accomplish.
Yes, and then still, I believe when you look at my LinkedIn profile, it probably says that I'm an alliance and partnership specialist.
Yes.
So the word partnership comes back a lot, but I always give this warning also about the legal connotation.
Right. Yeah, it's fascinating because I am a lawyer in the United States. I'm still licensed to practice law, although I don't traditionally practice anymore. And it's always very interesting. I'm working on a project right now where I'm on the purchasing team for contracting a very large project. And some of the supply teams would be entering into a legal partnership, a joint venture. And they've indicated in their responses that they would do that. And it is a very different beast in the United States when you are legally a partner versus when you have the intention to create the atmosphere of a partnership. Going down the path of an atmosphere of partnership where two or more organizations come together to create something, I noticed in some of your writings, it's about growth that cannot be achieved without this spirit of collaboration. You also mentioned that the future is collaboration. And I'm really curious about that. There's a sense sometimes in the air of constriction, of wanting to hold on to what's ours. And collaboration is the exact opposite. Why do you, in the spirit of partnership, see collaboration as the path forward as opposed to a constriction, a holding on to what's ours?
Well, collaboration has its benefit, and of course also its downside. It has some overhead when you need to manage your collaboration. But when you look at the traditional forms of doing it all by yourself, it requires a lot of investment and a lot of learning about new elements that you need to accomplish. Collaboration can be way faster from that perspective, where you team up with someone who does already know, what you need to know, and it allows you to move on faster. But as I said, it has its cons in the sense that you need to be transparent, you need to be sharing control, you need to be sharing the revenue or the outcome of the collaboration. And you need to manage it, because that's the big risk in collaboration. And no collaboration runs by itself. It requires a lot of attention and communication, because people sometimes think that their partner acts the way their own company does, but it are two different companies or two different organizations, I should say, because we can also very well have alliances and collaborations between government organizations or between public, private, and private organizations. And it are different organizations, so we need to carefully manage. But by bringing together different skills and different organizations, we can increase the pie instead of fighting each other for the same piece of the pie. And that's why I believe that collaboration, especially now when we have difficult times with the pandemic around the world, we see that great examples of different types of collaboration where competitors like Sanofi and GSK are joining forces to create a vaccine. They could not have done it alone, and so collaboration would have been slower in doing it alone. So collaboration is really also an accelerator here.
How do your clients, when they're in these alliances, how do they manage things around investments into the alliance or the spirit of the partnership, and then reap the rewards coming out of the spirit of the partnership or the alliance?
And I'm smiling this time because many questions asked about alliances start with "it depends," and also this question his answer starts with "it depends." There is no single one recipe for making an alliance successful, because you always have different partners, different ingredients. And so it depends very much on the type of alliance. A sales alliance can be easier than a development alliance. And you, on forehand, you in your negotiations, you will agree on what resources will be added to the alliance and what how the benefits will be divided between the partners. And there are some rules for it that are good to live to. So what we call the three laws from Ben Gomez-Casares, a U.S. professor in the Boston area. He says we need to work together to make 1 + 1 = 3. So you need to create synergy. You need to work together in order to make 1 + 1 = 1. As really create one organization together, one operational organization. And he says you need to work together in the sense that 1 + 1 = 1.4 + 1.6. In other words, the way you share resources and distribute the value, it doesn't have to be equal. It depends right. on how you what you bring in.
That's, in my estimation, the hardest part in yes. working on different organizations bringing different valued expertise or real resources. By real, I'm thinking the legal term of like real property, something that's tangible in addition to intellectual property, is how do you place a value on that particular investment? And then how do you determine what that percentage of that reward ought to be? And it's that's why in getting to we talk about equity as one of the guiding principles. And it's an interesting conversation that I had with the co-author David Freelinger, who's also an attorney in the Nordic countries, not here in the United States. The reason it's interesting is because it's an old-fashioned concept in U.S. law that if we can't figure it out based on the rules of law, then you could go to a court of equity. And again, this is history, and the court of equity would determine what was right based on the circumstances if there wasn't a rule of law or a case law that applied. And that concept of equity is a difficult one for people to wrap their minds around, that it's not always 50-50, that it could be 80-20. Or it could be 70-30 or something other than 50-50. Do you find that people struggle about the valuing of the investment that they're bringing in? Or do you find that it's the rewards that are coming back out that's harder to value in this equitable situation?
If I have to choose between the two, I would say that the value of investment is difficult for them, more difficult for them to comprehend, because based on the value of investment, they will also look at the value of rewards that comes out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fascinating. There are some articles written by an American teacher. Boy, I can't remember where she is. She used to be at Emory University. Her name is Sandy Japp, and she'd written a little bit, probably a decade now ago, about this idea of investments in strategic alliances and partnerships and the different flavors that they can have. It's fascinating. Can you tell us a little bit about the alliance partnership success journey? You've got an image of it in some of the work that is easily identifiable by you and your partners, but what's the core that you believe in the success journey that relates to collaboration, or does the entire journey relate to collaboration?
I think the entire journey is essential for collaboration, for successful collaboration, let's put it that way. Because what we see is that companies who jump in ad hoc into a partnership or an alliance a collaboration. I catch myself with the word partnership here. Mm-hmm. Is they jump in ad hoc, they are destined to fail. At least only 20% of them succeed.
Oh.
While if you follow a journey like an alliance life cycle, as we call it, there are specific steps in there. And I always like to drill it down to three main steps, because what you see is that in the literature, sometimes you see 7 steps, sometimes you see 8 steps, some companies use 6 steps and 5 steps. But in all cases, you can see the three main chapters. And it's one, look at strategy. So why are we in this partnership and who should be our partner? Number two is design. It's really about the building trust and value creating negotiations, operational planning, alliance structuring and governance. So it's laying the foundation for the collaboration. And then number three, which hopefully runs for a very long time, is the management phase, is the actual operational phase of the alliance. And also there you constantly need to check, are we still on the same path together? Do we still have the same vision? Are we reaching the goal that we had in mind, or do we need to innovate or transform? Or maybe we were too optimistic and there is no future for our partnership and we need to exit.
And so if I'm understanding you correctly, all three of those phases require a tremendous amount of collaboration in order for the third phase to be its most successful phase.
Yes, indeed. So, and there you see the collaborative negotiation that is essential.
Yeah. Yeah, because it isn't I win, you lose in this situation. It really must be looking at all the different partners or alliance members, and then the output of that alliance, and whoever is the recipient of that output must win, or there's, in my opinion, very little purpose for that alliance.
If both partners don't win, and especially if the client, or in healthcare alliances, the patient doesn't win, then there is no purpose for the alliance.
Yeah. So in reading, looking at your offerings, you offer an alliance masterclass, which now in 2021 is offered online. Could you tell us a little bit, if my listeners were interested in learning more about alliances, what does the masterclass offer them, and why would it be a good idea for them to take that class?
Happy to explain a little bit more about it. To your last question, I would say that everyone who's looking at creating alliances and partnerships should follow such a class. And then because it will teach them how to create alliances and partnerships. The class is split in three sessions from 3 hours in across 3 weeks. So every Wednesday we have a session of 3 hours, and in between you have some homework. And I know that some people will shiver with the word homework because they already are busy enough, but it's a maximum of 1 hour a week. And that 1 hour is also applied to your own situation. So we make it very practical. We run through the three main stages that I've just mentioned: strategy, design, and management. And we apply it immediately to the situation of the participant. So that's also why we limit the class to a maximum number of people, because we want to be able to still have that conversation, that discussion, where people learn the theory from us, learn how to apply it to their situation. And we want to keep it very, very practical, that we send them home with the homework to try the tools we just discussed on their situation. So it's really bridging the theory and the practice here. So it's not an academical course where you will have to do a lot of work to think how you can apply it to your situation, but it's really a practical course that will teach you the essential elements for successful alliances.
So when they leave the masterclass, they have something tangible.
They have something tangible, yes. And it doesn't stop when they leave the masterclass, because every masterclass comes with 4 group coaching sessions so every quarter we have a comeback hour, as we call it, where all the alumni can come back and ask us questions and share questions and experiences with their fellow alumni. And we have also a supporting platform where people can communicate with each other and where new conversations with guests continue to appear. So it's a continuous learning journey.
That's fantastic. And I look forward to being a guest at the Alliance Masterclass. Where can listeners learn more about you and your work?
The best way to start is to look at my website, which is petersimons.com. So it's quite easy. It's myname.com. Or look, when you specifically want to look for the masterclass, look at alliancemasterclass.com. We've tried it to keep it as simple as possible from that perspective.
Very good. Well, Peter, thank you very much for this conversation about the difference between alliances and partnerships, and my belief, as well as yours, that collaboration is in fact the future. So thank you very much again.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me, Janet.